Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. And if you blinked and missed it, Giants have lost 5 of 6.
Steiny, why is that what you got to focus on today?
Well, because
they've actually lost 4 in a row
for the first time this year. So it's getting to the time when you got to start asking, can Devers win the big one?
Well, he's got to win one today. You don't want to get swept.
No, you don't.
When was the last time they got swept?
Who'd they play before the Padres?
Miami?
No. Who'd they play before Miami?
Oh, Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit swept them, didn't they?
It was Miami, but Detroit was before Miami. Yeah, they got swept in Detroit.
That's right. It's a good young ball club there they got in the Motor City.
It's the best team in baseball.
We're talking about Devers, the Giants, et cetera, and Buster Posey. Mentioning a lot of Giants names. Here's how I want to get into this segment. We're just talking about whether anybody can supplant Buster Posey. If you think that Buster Posey's the face of the Giants right now, what could change that? What has to happen for that to change, for it to be a player? Or do you think it is Logan Webb or whoever? But this is what I want to hear from Alex Pavlovich, NBC Sports Bay Area. He was talking about Posey and his relationship with the front office. And I don't know, I just feel like it ties in. Take a listen.
Buster is part of the ownership group. He's part of the board. It's just different. Like, it's a different level, I think, of trust. And I also think this is maybe a little corny, but like, it's got to be pretty hard to the ownership group who have seen him help him win 3 titles here. It's basically mostly the same people to say no if he comes to you in June and says, we can get Rafael Devers. I know we just signed Chapman long-term and Lee long-term and Adames long-term. I know you didn't expect to spend this much in 2025, but here's the guy and we're going to pick up $255 million. I think it's a little bit tougher to say that to someone with Buster's stature and also someone who, everyone up and down in the organization trusts his commitment to winning. And if he says this is the best way to win in San Francisco, I think that's really easy for everyone to get on board with.
Okay. The way Pavlovich described it is the way that I actually think it is. When Posey took the job, he had to have some parameters. And one of the parameters is, I need your financial commitment if we get to a point where there's a deal out there that we like. And they had to say to Buster to get him to take the job, I'm sure, no, we're going to, it's going to be your show. And the bottom line is, you said it. Who's going to say no to Buster Posey? I don't know that there is anybody in the ownership group. Like they hired him to do the things that he's doing, or they wouldn't have hired him. You know what I mean? They wouldn't have said to him or given him the okay to spend this money when he took the job. So I feel like when he came to them with this possibility, they had to know, well, we knew this was hopefully coming at some point because we knew we wanted to get more talent in here.
Well, he's also on the board. So he automatically, he has a built-in, I would assume, trust of the rest of the owners. And that means when he says, I would like to invest $500 million into this lineup, they're like, yeah, all right. I think we'll find a way to make that happen. And also, too, it's like he hasn't given you a reason to not trust him. Again, at every stage of his career, as both a player and now an executive slash owner or a board member, hasn't really failed. Like, he hasn't done anything to lead you astray, so to speak. So I think, like, Posey's still, again, he's still on the stage right now where when he does something, he gets the benefit of the doubt. And until proven otherwise, that's kind of the path you have to continue to go down. And I think it's like, dude, if Curry retires and becomes a part of the board or, you know, sure, Warriors ownership, which is going to be pretty pricey after yesterday, but it's still Curry's team. Like, if you have a player has to come in and be at that same level, like, to just assume that Devers is going to, I don't know, like, become the face of this team, to me, like, there's a lot more that goes into it than that. And the first thing, the most important thing, is winning. And, like, I'm sorry, I think the Giants are a good team right now, but I don't see them winning a World Series this year. And so that's a question that we're going to need a lot more time to figure out how to answer.
Right, but I do think, and I'm with you, do I think they're going to win the World Series this year? No. But they're at the beginning of this. That's the other thing. You talk about the benefit of the doubt with Posey. I think there's a real sense of Giants fans had a sense before Buster Posey was here that this team was doing nothing but treading water. They were doing nothing but middling around 500 and making moves around the edges, and they weren't a big boy player when it came to free agents. And Buster Posey's been here for less than a year, and all that seemed to have changed. And, you know, maybe it was a case of Farhan Zaidi never even entertained moves like these. Well, why? Well, maybe he thought ownership would never clear that kind of move with him as the GM, but with Posey, they did. Like, I don't know anything about those dynamics, but it felt to me like the pursuit of Judge, for example, that was more the organization kind of making Zaidi do it. Not that he wouldn't have taken Judge, but he probably knew it might have been a fool's errand anyway.
Look, to win, you got to spend money. And I think that's what Posey might, I don't want to say understand more than Zaidi did, but I think he's looking at the landscape and he's saying, all right, if we're going to compete in this division, the Dodgers spend more money than anybody. The Padres have a top 10 payroll. Even the Diamondbacks, again, just invested $200+ million into a pitcher this offseason. Unless you sit at the blackjack table and push your chips in, you're going to be treading water for 5 to 10 years. That's just the state of things. I mean, the one team in Major League Baseball this year that has bucked that trend, and it's by virtue of their age, is the Detroit Tigers. They're the best team in baseball. They're the 17th largest payroll. But a lot of those guys that are moving towards contract years, they're either going to have to decide whether they don't want to pay him or their payroll is going to explode. I think that's why Posey is like, if we're we are going to develop players. We want to have homegrown talent. We're in the memory making business, all the rest. But if you want to expedite that process, you have to spend. Like, you can't just sit here and every single year just hope that you'll find something in the draft. Your draft should be to supplement what you already have on your roster. That's what prospects are for. Maybe you hit on one, maybe you don't. But waiting 5 to 10 years like it looked the Giants were willing to do to see if they had a star. Like, dude, we don't know if Eldridge is going to be good. Eldridge could be he could be a Hall of Fame player. He might be a league average player. You do not know. Now, all signs point to him being a pretty good bat. But the point is, if you're going to find, like, Devers is a proven commodity. That's going to cost you $300 million. Matt Chapman is a proven commodity at the big league level. That's going to cost you $150 million. This offseason, if you want another bat, or we're talking about a pitcher, or whatever you feel like is the biggest Giants need, that's probably going to cost you a lot of money. And that's just the price of doing business in 2025 in baseball.
Yes, but one thing I'm intrigued by is what I've learned now. What would you say to this? You know, the Giants have always been willing to spend money. Like, I believe if Aaron Judge would have said, I want to come to San Francisco, just pay me one more dollar than the Yankees, I think they would have paid him one more dollar than the Yankees. Do you? Even with Farhan Zaidi.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I'm looking at this move now and thinking, and maybe it's just semantics, they actually were pushing all their chips into the middle for Harper and for Judge and for Otani. But they just didn't have a good enough hand. So Posey, recognizing, you know what, we might not be able to get free agents here. We have a chance to trade for a guy, but we owe $250 to $300 million. Good. We'll do it. Like, it's just our way to acquire a free agent. We just have to do it through a trade. So the idea of spending this money for Chapman and Adamas and Devers, I'd love to nail down whether there was a change in ownership feeling, or there was a change in the way Zaidi dealt with ownership, or there was a confidence that Posey has, knowing he can get anything done he wants, and maybe Farhan had a tiptoe. But they are spending money. They're just not doing it in free agency.
Well,
for
no,
the most part,
they've spent money. Like, they're paid again. Last year, they paid a luxury tax. Like, they paid a lot of money for last year's roster. But the overall commitments over time is, to me, where it changes. Like, when you see these, like, Willie Adamas is a 7-year investment. The tail end of that deal is probably not going to age very well. Rafi Devers, if you get three years of high level elite batting out of Devers, then the rest is gravy. But odds are, at age 35, 36, 37, which his deal runs through, that as just a hitter, he's probably not going to be that great. But Posey is willing to play by the rules, I think, more than the previous regime. Similar to the Dodgers, or the Padres, or to some extent the Diamondbacks, but really those two teams in Southern California, that let's just eat the last 4 years. Like we just got to eat the last couple of years, because that's how we're going to get dudes in here. And, you know, like Snell, I don't know if the Giants last year would have been willing to give him a 5-year deal, but they gave him a 1-1, and he opted out. You know, Rodon, the year before, they gave him a 1-1. He opts out. I think Posey is kind of the school of, at least from what it appears to me, that if I have a chance to acquire a Carlos Rodon or a Blake Snell or like one of these star talented players, I got to get them in here for longer than just a year or two and try and piece together every single roster. I want to know what my roster is going to look like in 2030, or maybe not 2030, but 2028.
All right.
Because then I get multiple cracks. I don't have to like jigsaw this thing together every single season, because I know what my lineup's going to look like 3 years from now.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. You know, you mentioned this earlier, and I think it is a significant part of it. So, Posey is on the ownership group. So,
well, that's what Pavlovich just said.
Yeah, let's talk about the Warriors for a second. So Joe Lacob runs the Warriors, like Johnson runs the Giants. And then they have, let's just say, a dozen. You know, it's Lacob, it's Goober, and then 10 other people that own minority stakes, let's just say. One of those 10 owners, or one of those 10 minority owners is Steph Curry after he retires.
Yeah.
And now Curry becomes the GM. Like, Curry goes into that room as an equal. He is an owner. Like, he has a vested interest. It's some of his money. And now I'm just envisioning Farhan Zaidi taking the job. He doesn't know any of these people in the ownership group. He's not a part of the ownership group, and he has absolutely no history virtually with the team itself. Like, the dynamic has clearly changed, and it almost feels like, I get it, he's not Mark Cuban, Buster Posey, but he can operate like he's Mark Cuban because he's got clout, and people are going to follow his lead because he's Buster Posey.
I mean, he's got less to prove, and yeah, I think, look, I haven't been in those rooms myself, but I imagine that if you're part owner or minority owner, you're on the board, and you also run the team, it's probably going to be easier to get things done. Like, it just is, because you have a direct line to the guys who are responsible for the money that you are having to spend on an individual. So, you know, would Farhan have pulled the Devers deal off? I have my doubts. His track record says no. And I think part of that is, yeah, he might have to jump through some more hurdles, and he might have to, you know, do a lot more convincing, as opposed to Posey just sends a text to, hey, you think this might be a good idea? And then boom, 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 4 months or four weeks later, it happens. Like, I mean, I do think that matters. And, I mean, and this offseason, I feel confident, or maybe not confident, more confident that he could go out and acquire a big-name free agent.
I'm more thinking about, would Zaidi, let's say Zaidi were here, and he's got an opportunity to do the Devers deal exactly as it is. Does he dread going to the ownership group? Or does he not even pursue something like that because he doesn't want to have to deal with going to the ownership group and saying we got to take on Devers' salary? If this trade would not have been made under Farhan Zaidi, my question would be, why? Why would you think? And I'm not saying you're wrong.
My guess is because a model will tell you that Devers, by the end of his deal, is going to be a sunk cost. That's the reason why.
Farhan Zaidi would probably balk at it.
Yeah, because you're probably going to get 2 years, hopefully three, of an elite bat in the middle of your order. But then the last 4 years of the deal or 5 years of the deal, probably he's going to start to tail off, and he's not going to be able to play the field anymore, or certainly as well as he once did. And again, I think that it's a deal that if you have an opportunity to make, you have to make. And that's why I would hope that if Farhan was still the president of baseball operations, that he would have still done this deal. But if you're asking me why he wouldn't have, I think it's just like math says, it's not going to age well. It just isn't.
And that's another thing. Like, I think Posey's got no concern about his next job, or there's just a confidence about him where he's going to do what he's got to do, and the chips are going to fall, and whatever, he'll either be here for a long time, or after 6 years, he'll be gone. But like a guy like Zaidi, who's trying to stay in the game.
Well, he's still in the game.
No, I know he's still in the game. But
I actually don't think that Zaidi had to worry about a job at all.
Well, I think Buster Posey's got to worry about it far. Like, I think Buster Posey, this is the job he's taking, and it'll be the last job he ever takes. Like, that's what I think.
I don't think he had to take the job.
No, he didn't. He didn't. And that's kind of what I mean. He didn't have to take the job. He's a franchise hero, and so he can come into this and say, everything I do is going to be my way. Whatever move I want to make, if it's risky, I'll do it. If it's not right, I'm going to do every move that I think is right, we're going to do. Zaidi, I think, was the type of person that also has to factor in, what if it doesn't work? You know what I mean? Like, Posey, I don't think factors that in as much. Posey probably says, well, if it doesn't work, then they'll just fire me in 5 years.
I think it's just more about who they are as opposed to, like, what they're like, Posey's trying to win right now. Like, he wants to win now. He's always been a winner. That's in his blood. Farhan Zaidi is about building something and creating something. And it's, yeah, he probably has more of an eye on the future than the present. And right now, the present is Steiner. The Giants have lost 4 in a row. They've lost 5 of 6.
Yep.
They haven't won a game yet with the bat that they went on and got. And while Posey has done a great job, I think, so far in his first calendar year, or less than, of getting guys or maintaining guys, he still has work to do. And I know it's been 2 games, but I think that from the first 75, essentially, that we've seen, today will be 75, this roster is still not yet in a place, I think, that Posey wants it. Like, I don't think that he's done.
I completely
agree. Devers, to me, is the tip of the ice. As big of a piece as he is, Devers, to me, with the kind of person I believe Posey is, the kind of winner, competitor that he is, to me, Devers is the tip of the iceberg this season.
Yes.
Like, this is where it starts.
I would imagine they'll make, this won't be their only move before the deadline. And that's where I agree with you. Like, I do think Buster Posey looks at it in a simple way at times and just says, we got to get a better second baseman in here. We got to get a better second baseman in here. We got to get Chapman back. We can live with Chapman. You know, we got to figure out first base. Okay, we got Devers. Can he play there? We want to put Wilmer there, all that kind of stuff. And he just, so I do think there'll be a couple new Giants before the deadline, for sure. But I don't know. I just think I'm fascinated, because the other thing is, if the Giants go out and get a bat, let's say they find a guy who's under contract for a year and a half. Let's not say he's up at the end. Or let's say he's a free agent, and they make a move and they give up Wiz and Hunt for a hitter. Well, at that point, then the Giants are operating in a way that it feels like they've never operated under Farhan. But is that just because Posey's got a different strategy, or Posey's been allowed to do stuff that Farhan either didn't want to or wasn't allowed, if you know what I mean?
Well, I think it is. Like, the team's better. The team's playing well. Like, you don't make these moves if your team is 500. I honestly don't think that, to me, it's unfair to look at Posey and compare him to Farhan. Like, they're just two different people.
No, I get that.
Like, I am focused on what this team is trying to accomplish. And to me, the biggest issue that I think they have is by acquiring Devers, Steiny, they have no way to put their best hitters, all of their best hitters, on the field at the same time. Because Flores can't play every night.
Right.
Because Devers is there. And while Wilmer might not be, you know, a silver slugger, he's been one of your best hitters this year. Even someone like Dom Smith, who had to come off the bench last night at pinch hit. Over the last couple, since he's gotten here, he's been one of your best hitters. He can't be in the lineup every night. So that's to me why when you're looking at, you know, they're not, like, that's why Schmidt's hitting fifth. That's why Lee's dropped down to seventh. It's because while they don't have great hitters, their best ones all can't be in the starting nine tonight. They just can't.
Right. Good stuff. Good stuff.
You want to talk about Caitlin?
We can talk about Caitlin. We can talk about what's going on with the Warriors.
There's also, there's kind of a topic that we were tossing around earlier that I'm kind of excited for. I don't know if we're thinking of the same one, but
I don't know either, but now I'm excited for your idea.
Okay.
Coming up tonight, 7 o'clock, Valkyries take on Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever, and you can hear the game on 95.7 The Game and the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Kevin Dana, Sophia Jones, they're on the call, and you can watch the games on KPIX Plus. Pre-game starts at 6:30. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. That segment also brought to you by Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Farhan's cooked.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Thursday. Happy Juneteenth. Yeah, the office is kind of dead today.
Well,
yay! A lot of people with a day off.
It's a nationally recognized holiday.
Yeah. Just another.
Took a little too long to get there, but it finally is.
And, you know, what we'll never be able to figure out is whether Goo took today off because of a holiday or because it was simply Thursday.
You got it. That's a cheap shot.
Of course it is.
Can I take one?
Sure.
Well, it's not cheap. It's actually deserved. Can I just issue a PSA to everybody? Like, everyone's, it's a holiday. Folks are driving places. Hopefully, maybe you're going to see a friend, family. Maybe you're going out to the Valkyries game tonight to see Caitlin Clark. Slow down. Slow the F down. Zach Edey got Clark Steiny yesterday doing 101 in a 55 zone. What are we doing?
Zach Edey,
the center for the Memphis Grizzlies, who I don't really care for much anyways, but slow down.
Are you serious?
There is no need for you to go that fast, twice the limit, basically, in Memphis or I don't know where he's from, somewhere in the Midwest. Just slow the F down. Dude, people trying to get out of the ballpark last night are cutting across each other and whizzing through different lanes. Like, you're going to get to where you need to go. Just slow the F down.
I've said this often, Evan. People are the worst. They're the worst. And this on the heels of Shedeur Sanders, who was also clocked doing 101. But I believe that was in a 65.
Not down the 101.
I wonder what the difference in that ticket is, a 101 and a 55?
Well, the issue is that you can pay it. Like, there's nothing that's going to, like, it doesn't get reprimanded.
That's like an automatic reckless driving, and they suspend your license, I think.
It should be.
You would think.
Tell them to take an Uber or a Waymo.
Exactly. Hey,
thanks.
And we can bring Risotto into this, too. Let me tell you what's a myth. This is a baseball myth. Framing. Framing's a myth.
Please explain.
When a catcher frames a strike, it doesn't work. First of all, the umpire can see you move it after it hits your glove. He can see you move those 3 inches. And here's
You'd
the
be
other
surprised.
Thing. Here's the other thing. For every call you get by framing, you don't get six of them because the umpire's pissed off that you tried to frame in the first place. You never heard a word about Buster Posey's framing.
That's because he was pretty good.
And he was honest. If it was a ball, it was a ball. He wasn't trying to cheat.
Dude, you're making this guy to sound like Jesus Christ today. Framing is important. Now, it's not as important as I think a lot of nerds make it out to be. Like, you're saving runs by framing. You can catch a couple strikes, but let me tell you what. You like Patrick Bailey is the best framer in all the land. And I don't know, he's better than all these construction workers working on my block at framing.
Nice.
I don't care if you hit 180. I don't care what you do behind home plate if you go up there with a broomstick. So Patrick Bailey, can we? Also, this is a little pet peeve of mine. You can't be an awful hitter and switch hit. I'm sorry. You can't do it. Pick a side and figure out how to hit on one half of the plate before you decide to be a righty and a lefty. Like, again, you can't be a 180 hitter, Steiny, and be a switch hitter. Oh, which side of the plate is he better from? Neither.
You know, Evan, those players probably feel like if they go down to just batting righty or lefty that their average will fall to 090.
Like Adamas. Now he's on the rise.
Who's the worst pinch hitter in switch hitter in baseball?
The worst switch hitter in baseball? Oh, boy. This is a toss-up. Bailey's up there. You know, there used to be... Oh, was he a switch hitter? Pasta, do you remember if Nick Punto was a switch hitter?
Nick Punto hit right-handed.
Damn it. Well, he's the worst hitter I've ever seen.
This guy wasn't bad, but he was on my all Mount Rushmore of guys I couldn't stand. I'm pretty sure he was a switch hitter. Jason Kendall.
He was a righty.
Was he?
He was actually a good hitter.
I know he was, but he was not a good guy.
He was a slap guy. Slap hitter. Well, they don't have those anymore.
Is that, of course, Fred Kendall, who caught for the Cleveland Indians.
Punto was a switch hitter.
Oh!
Producer Ken correcting me on that one.
Count the bucket. Yeah, that's the worst switch hitter I've ever seen. All right. What do you want to do now, Stoney?
Well, you teased something that really had me.
Oh.
Instruct.
Well, okay, so you kind of brought it up. By the way, happy 75th birthday to Dwayne Kuiper.
Nice.
Yeah, he's still doing a fantastic job, which brought up the conversation before the show of the worst possible takes to have in Bay Area sports. Like, you don't believe them, but if someone said, again, these are not our thoughts, but if you said this, if you publicized a take on air, or you're just walking and you're like, hey, I believe this, everyone would boo you off a cliff. Like, what is the worst take that you can have as a Bay Area sports fan? I have a few ideas.
I would say one would be saying something like...
Now, you're a very provocative person, so I want to make sure that everyone knows that this is not what you believe. This is just, well...
We'll see. Okay. What would be saying something like, let me tell you something. Steph Curry would be a great sixth man. Be a great sixth man. Little hybrid guard. He could come in and sub for the point guard. The shooting guard gets two quick ones. He can come in for the shooting guard. Steph Curry, he'd be a great sixth man. That'd be one. That'd be a bad hot take.
Okay.
I can't even believe you said that.
But the funniest part is I can see you saying that.
I did about 14 years
is
ago.
Is that why you just got a ton of vitriol for it and you've been harboring it ever since?
Well, keep in mind that when Steph Curry came into the league 47 years ago, they didn't really have a lot of positionless basketball. You had to, you know, you're either a point guard or a shooting guard, and nobody could figure out what he was. And I thought, well, if you don't know what he is, bring him off the bench.
Oh, that does remind me. I've been thinking about this. So, you know how tweeners, I'll tell you my take in a moment, but tweeners used to be between like the one and the two.
Yes.
Like the point guard and shooting guard. I think the new tweener is between the three and the four.
It's funny you say that.
Like, I think a lot of players in 2025 that at least I hear described as tweeners, they seem to be more forwards than guards now.
Yeah, like Draymond.
Yeah.
When he came out, he was considered a tweener.
Or Kuminga.
Yes, they're three, yeah.
Like they're all tweeners.
Yeah, he's so a three and a half. Mm-hmm. No, he is. He's a three and a half.
I know. I just find it interesting. I wanted to throw that by you.
Well, the other thing is, and that's why the people who love Kuminga, they just are hell-bent that he's a three. He's got to be a three. Why? Oh, we want him to play out on the perimeter more. Again, why? Like, guys want to be threes rather than fours for whatever reason.
Make more money, probably. You have the ball more. You can display the ha-ha.
if you have it.
Well, everyone's working on their bag. Okay, my take. If you say this, you'll be strung from the Salesforce Tower. Barry Bonds shouldn't be a Hall of Famer, or shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Wow, dude.
See, I disagree with that.
That one, but like I've heard people say that, and I actually, I kind of get it. But if you say it in the Bay Area, like someone almost just drove off the bridge and they tuned in right when I said Barry Bonds shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the only issue I would have with that is there's probably a percentage of people that believe it without respect to his career because of the steroids. And so they wouldn't consider it a hot take.
Yeah, but most of those people are getting aged out. a lot of those people, maybe I'm just speaking of people my age. Oh, like another one would be, Curry's not top 10. Or, no, Curry's not, yeah, Curry's not top 10 all time. Like, that one will get you, like, someone will really get mad at that if I say that at a party. Now, but again, these are people my age.
Well, it's not a good pickup line, Evan.
Yeah, that explains.
I'd start out with something tried and true, like, do you come here often?
Nope.
Even that one is... People are so suspicious nowadays, Steiny.
You think?
Yeah, but... like, if I walk up to someone, male or female, and I just say, do you come here often? There's immediately an eyebrow raised, if they can physically raise one eyebrow. Instead of, oh, no, I'm not from around here. Yeah, you know, this is one of my favorite places. It's, why are you talking to me?
You'll get over that. Things are going to start to break for you soon.
I don't think I will.
Yeah, I look at it as, what's a take that can get you into trouble as opposed to, I think of it as off limits. There are just some people that are off limits. Like you,
who's bulletproof?
Well, like to me, Steph Curry is off limits. Like if and when you criticize Steph Curry,
not from 10 to 2,
you are going to be absolutely lambasted. So there's no upside to even saying, you know, Steph's got to take care of the ball a little better. He had 6 turnovers. Like, oh, that's Steph. That's our guy. Steph's off limits for most people. Can't criticize Steph.
I called him a turnover twin.
Here's another guy who was untouchable. Untouchable. Never heard a bad word about him.
Bird?
Tim Lincecum.
Oh.
Like, I'm going back a little bit. Like, he was off limits. There was no criticism of Lincecum. In fact, because of who he was embraced even further. There was never any shade at Tim Lincecum.
Even though he fell off a cliff. Now, Tim Lincecum has also dealt with a lot of off the field, off the diamond issues that I don't wish upon anybody. But as a player, you're right. Lincecum was a shooting star, is what he was.
Yes.
And that's fair, because he became bulletproof pretty quickly.
Let me think of who else.
Until he vocalized some of his opinions, I think Mad Bum was in that category.
How about, the 49er I thought of was actually not Montana or Young.
Jimmy?
No, it was for a different reason. Frank Gore. Like, Frank Gore was off limits to criticize because he was so good. He was such a team player. He was such a good guy. Resilient, durable. Now, I get it. He's maybe not as visible as a Steph Curry, but I never heard any, like, Gore doesn't hit the hole fast enough. Gore, it looks like he's running on eggshell. No. Nobody criticized Frank Gore.
Well, I think part of that was because there's not, I mean, like, I never heard a bad thing about him. And I don't think it was because he was bulletproof. It's because he was a great player, a great dude, and never really gave you anything to criticize. I mean, he didn't play in a ton of big games because he wasn't on, you know, all-time teams. But, like, can you remember a bad moment? Like, Frank Gore fumbling at the goal line or messing up a game? No, he never did. At least from what I can recall.
Yeah, a couple are coming in. We can have some fun with them. Willie Mays, untouchable.
Oh, he passed away yesterday.
Good call.
A year ago. Would have been 94 yesterday.
Steve Young. See, I would disagree with Steve Young only because a lot of people had resentment that he followed Montana. Not that he's not a great guy or wasn't a great leader, isn't well loved. I'm just saying, I wouldn't put him as off limits. Somebody saying George Kittle, please. It's fair. You can say George Kittle doesn't have great hands. Like, that's not off limits.
No. He's no one on this current 49ers team is above criticism. Nobody. Because they haven't won. And if the Niners had won a couple Super Bowls, or even just one of the two, I do think that Kittle might have approached there. Like, to me, I actually think like Montana's probably the close him or Rice. Montana and Rice. Like, you win four Super Bowls, I'm sorry, you can't say nothing about those dudes.
Well, it's funny because before the show when we were saying, you know, what would provoke, Rice did come up for me, and I said, oh, Jerry Rice, he's not the greatest football player of all time. He is not the greatest. Come on, please. Now, I don't necessarily believe it.
He has a company named Goat Fuel.
Now, I'm just saying, I don't necessarily believe it, but that would cause a stir. Yeah, no, he's not the GOAT. Rice isn't the GOAT. That's the other thing. Here's another one. Yeah, LeBron's better than Jordan. Nobody said that in forever. That's a hot take. Because
I actually think that that's kind of become something that's lukewarm.
See, I think it's something that now, because this idolatry of Michael Jordan has gotten so out of hand that his supporters and his stands, if you will, are actually messaging that it's not even close. And so now everybody is afraid to ever say anything negative about Michael Jordan. Like, he's got a committee out there of PR people.
Well, he's going to be on NBC this year, so I'm sure he's going to do some promotion. The thing
I'll tell you right now. You ready?
Dude, I don't care about that. Like, I actually don't think a lot of people my age really care about
the LeBron
versus Jordan. Okay. Like, seriously, if I see it on First Take, I'd rather watch Telemundo. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Let me make a prediction.
Okay.
I don't think Michael Jordan will be very good. And do we know exactly what his role is going to be?
No.
Yeah, contributor?
I don't...
Insider?
Let me ask you a question. Like, do you guys see it? Like, you think he's going to be really good?
No, I actually, to be fair, I don't know. Because I feel like I've never heard him speak.
Interesting.
He doesn't do anything. Even as an owner, he never really talked. I think he gave one speech outside of his Hall of Fame speech during the top 75. Maybe I think he spoke at some All-Star thing. But, like, I don't know if he's going to be good. I would assume not, because if he was a good public speaker, I'd probably remember something he said.
Yeah, I feel like he's the type of guy who, you know how Magic Johnson tweets? That's how Jordan's going to be on television. Because here's the way I look at, like, Jordan is so insulated. All right? He's so insulated that he's got, like, two worlds. One is his real world, and then the other is everybody outside that he doesn't care about. So I think when he's going to be at, like, when he's given opinions, he's just going to be so vanilla, I think. I just don't see him being highly insightful or controversial at all. I just don't see it. I see him being very safe, because he's always been that way.
I do think he's going to be critical of people that threaten his legacy. Like, I could see him being critical of LeBron. But the one guy who he can't be critical of, and it's not because he's not threatened by him, I don't think, but it's he's bulletproof, is Steph. Like, I don't think there's any legend that remains alive. Has there been one that said anything bad about Curry? Now, Oscar Robertson has said things bad about the Warriors. Well, I know that's true. No, like Oscar said that Steph couldn't play in zero, right?
I know he came down Draymond Green's road.
Maybe it was more about the Warriors, but I got to double check this. But I don't think that many, if any, have ever really criticized Curry.
It's a good thought. I'm not thinking, because he's usually the outlier. People say they'll rip the game, but they'll say everybody wants to be Steph Curry. Well, that to me is a compliment. Like, because he's the only guy who can do it like him. Is
Oscar Robertson was critical of him in 2016, the year he won unanimous MVP.
Well, and you know what? That's fair. Like that, it was fair to question how he would be the first unanimous MVP. That's a fair question. I'm not saying he didn't deserve it. He did. But I could see how an old-timer would say, you're telling me, well, Chamberlain was never unanimous or Bird or Magic? Anyway.
Well, Bird, definitely not. But yeah, the other ones, I could hear it.
Larry Bird, you know what? I'm not going to do this.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Hey, Pasta.
Do you think it's possible for a coach or executive to be in the category of off limits? Or even come close to being in that category?
And a coach or an executive?
Coach or an executive, they get criticized all the time. Is there anybody that even comes close in the Bay Area sports landscape?
Coach, no. Executive, yes. I do feel like Sabian's off limits.
Oh, okay. I didn't follow. Sabian's absolutely off limits.
Yeah.
I'm with you there.
To me, he's the most bulletproof one of my lifetime.
Here's another one. This one, Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh is off limits.
True. I just wasn't around for him.
Yeah. I'll tell you who else is close. It's George Seifert. Like, I get it. He didn't have the stature of Bill Walsh, but George Seifert.
Nobody
has anything bad to say about him right now.
You know who else so far?
Don't.
Buster Posey. You can't say anything bad about that guy. Steiny, I dare you. I triple dog dare you on this nationally recognized holiday to criticize Posey.
Well, I mean, I think he's two-faced. I mean, this is the same guy who's running this organization, who's plucking Adamas, and he gets a star in Devers. This is the same guy whining about San Francisco. He's the same guy whining about the city. Cut that.
Send it to the Giants. Oh, Steiny.
What's the worst thing I could say about Buster Posey?
He's not a Hall of Famer?
Well, that is the one that some people say. We got to get out of here. Worst thing I can say about Buster Posey.
We got stars in town, Steiny.
Let me think about it because I need 10 minutes. Because he's about as elevated as it comes. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. By the way, what a day for Joe Lacob. We'll tell you why on the other side. That segment sponsored by Safeway.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.